This is Emergency Medicine Match Advice, sponsored by Academic Life in Emergency Medicine. This is a podcast series designed to help medical students and residents strategically navigate applying to emergency medicine residency and fellowship programs. I am your host, Sarah Krasaniak from Stanford University. Let's get started. All right, welcome everybody. We are back. It's another year, another match year, and I am really excited to be here again with two of my favorite people to digest the match numbers, here with Abra Fant and Michelle Lynn. Abra, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, everybody. I am Abra Fant. Super happy to be back for, I think this is my third post-match podcast. I am currently the program director at Northwestern in Chicago.
Hey, I'm Michelle Lynn. I'm here because you guys can't kick me off from UCSF and Alium, so I'm still here.
I haven't kicked Abra off either, because every time I record one of these podcasts or plan it, and I think to myself, who's someone new and exciting that we could bring on? And I try to do that with our other ones. But honestly, Abra, you are so fantastic in looking at these numbers and thinking about it thoughtfully. I can't quit you. I'm happy you're here. Thank you for being here. It's also a really special day because it is a total eclipse of the heart. For everyone listening, we are recording on Eclipse Day. And I have to tell you, I don't know who the marketing team is for the eclipse, but they have created FOMO in me about this eclipse that I never knew I had. And I feel like, you know, there was a brief fleeting moment where I was like, maybe I should go to Cleveland and see this eclipse. So we are recording through it. I'm going to watch out my window, see if it gets dark. Abra, do you have any big plans for the eclipse?
I'm just heading outside. We're supposed to be at 95% coverage here in Chicago, which my mom said wasn't that impressive. She's down south in Illinois and they'll be at 100%. But yeah, the plan is to, you know, finish up this podcast right outside. We got our glasses last minute off Facebook Marketplace last night, so we're ready to go.
I questioned the quality of those glasses, but just look at my face now. And if you never see it again, we'll know why.
Hey, Sarah, I find it like you timed this podcast so perfectly because, you know, we're talking about numbers. Is this apocalyptic? Or is this something we could have expected based on the science and the systems that were designed? I'm going to lead you right into that.
Oh my gosh, I love that transition. I couldn't have planned that any better. So yes, let's get into this. So for our audience, every year we look at the numbers that come out from the NRMP, which is the National Residency Matching Program, and we look at how did we do as a specialty in the match this year? And we want to share this with you so that you know what's happening in emergency medicine and what you can expect or think about as you plan your upcoming journey into emergency medicine. So for our listeners, if you look at our show notes, we have a table linked in there. This is a little bit of a data-heavy episode, but we're going to look at some numbers. It may be easier if you pull this up. But for the purposes of podcasting, we're going to go through some of these numbers, talk about what happened in this year's match, because as Michelle mentioned, last year was not so bueno. We had a lot of unfilled spots. It was apocalyptic. And I'm going to do TLDR. It is much better this year. All right. So pull up the table that's labeled how competitive is the EM match. Let's run through this really quickly. We've been tracking this now for several years, but as we get further and further along, the first year on this table now is going to be 2016. Our number of EM programs slightly increased along with the number of positions available. And we actually saw a pretty good jump in our applicants this year, which was great. Last year, we saw a drop in applicants to EM, and that's a little bit scary. This year, we saw an increase in our total number of applicants. We look at our number of MD senior applicants. This means people who are finishing their medical school at an MD school. They're in their last year. This percentage was 39%. That's a drop from 48% last year. But when we look at our DO colleagues, we saw a jump from 29 to 33% in the number of applicants from DO seniors this year. Now, the big number here is how many EM programs went unfilled in the match this year. Last year, it was really big deal because 46% of programs didn't fill in the match. This year, that dropped down to 18%. So we all breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief with that one. The number of unfilled EM positions went from 18% last year down to just 4% this year. So again, sigh of relief. We can all wipe our brow, looking much better for us. And then we have our last three columns here are how many of our EM positions were filled by MD seniors, DO seniors, and then international medical graduates. And we'll talk about that a little bit more as we go on to the next slide. So lots of numbers there. Went through that super fast. The one thing I will say that we don't have listed on here as an explicit number, although you can do the math, is that our MD and DO students made up 72% of our total applicants. And this is actually a drop from about 5% last year. So we saw an overall drop in the number of MD and DO seniors applying into emergency medicine. So let me kick it over to Abra. Talk to me about these numbers. What do you think? What stands out to you? What should we be talking about?
So overall, I think it's very positive. You know, we definitely rebounded in terms of filling. And I think that goes to show how adaptable and problem focused emergency physicians are, right? So we could have all cried into our pillows, but instead, collectively, sort of program directors across the country said, hey, there was an issue here. We need to be better about reaching out and interviewing folks that we may not have done before. So particularly folks in the international medical graduate space, I think this is a really good year for them because folks in the EM program saw this huge need to be able to fill their spots and not have to go into SOAP. So I do think that speaks to the adaptability of emergency physicians that we were able to kind of have this rebound in an incredibly short amount of time. I also think this is really great if we think about sort of diversity of experiences, right? We have folks coming pretty equally from allopathic and osteopathic medical schools in the United States. So I think that that actually goes a long way for providing equity for all of our DO colleagues. So all in all, I think it's a very positive reflection of kind of what the work that we put in and the folks that are joining our specialty. I just want to make sure that all of our allopathic students out there aren't scared away by these numbers. I don't think this is in any way reflective of our specialty in crisis or falling off a cliff. I think if you are a student who is interested in emergency medicine, there are plenty of jobs out there for you. There are residency spots out there for you. And these sort of numbers should be not really something to drive your decision whether to do the specialty or not.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, it makes me think of a cartoon, like a Wile E. Coyote, where he like runs full speed at the cliff edge, he gets the edge and like puts his brakes on and is at the edge teetering and then doesn't fall and like slowly gets himself off the edge. So I think that's where we are. Michelle, I don't know. Anything stand out to you on this slide?
Well, I'm still digesting this slide. There's so much information that I hope you guys will just sit down and just mull over because you can look at all these different trends. But I could just take a step back a little bit if you could humor me, which is you artificially kind of influence things based on what you track. And so I'm just wondering, I think historically, this table was super helpful when we're talking about competitiveness based on MDs, fill rates. But can we try to think of new labels, perhaps, of what makes EM and other specialties competitive? Let's think of, you know, what do we want in emergency physicians? We want people who are easy to teach, who are trustworthy, resilient, adaptable, all the things. You don't have to be the smartest person in the world. That's what residency is for. They're here to teach you the knowledge. But how do we then screen for and monitor the fact that EM is getting all these wonderful human beings who are going to be great clinicians? Bet you if we had that metric, EM would be scoring really high on that. Like, we are getting amazing people. And so I would love to, maybe we should just throw everyone into an escape room and measure that metric and see, like, who is most awesome, and we'll just take those people. But until then, you know, we're left with this table. I just want to put a little asterisk caveat to have you guys think about, like, this is what we have to measure, but I wonder if we can do a better job in measuring competitiveness.
Yeah, you know, and that's a great segue, Michelle, as well. Let me transition to our second slide, which is how competitive is the EM match relative to other specialties? And Michelle, I bet you're going to have some things to say about this slide, but this is a slide we've used year over year, and I think it's really helpful to look at. just to see the trends and where we're going. So traditional markers of competitiveness are fill rate and the percentage of spots that are filled by allopathic seniors. And so that's what this table is looking at, is how many unfilled programs and unfilled positions does emergency medicine have relative to some other specialties. So these numbers are in the first table, but I think it's helpful to look at what are other specialties doing. And this is a pure convenience sample. It is based off of nothing other than where my heart leads me and what other specialties I am interested in creeping on their numbers. But you see here, right? And unsurprisingly, you know, anesthesia, neurosurgery, plastics, no unfilled programs, no unfilled positions. Pediatrics actually had a bit of a bad year this year, right? So they had quite a few more unfilled positions and unfilled programs. Hug a pediatrician when you see them again. We love our pediatrics colleagues. But you can also then see here, you know, the percent of positions in EM filled by allopathic U.S. seniors is 42.4%. That's actually stable year over year from last year. But you can also see where we fall relative to other specialties. So with that, Abra, tell me what you think.
So it's sort of interesting, and I'll humor Michelle here a little bit about labels. And should students care about competitiveness at all? Is this really the way we should think about competitiveness? And I would argue, again, this should be people really reflecting on what they want a career in medicine to be. And it shouldn't necessarily be, oh, I've been at the top of my class since I was in eighth grade, and therefore I have to pick the most competitive specialty. You know, maybe if you go by these particular metrics, the most competitive specialty is plastic surgery. Maybe you'll love the OR, right? But just because it's competitive, you want to do it. I would rather encourage students to think about the work, think about the day-to-day work, reflect on their rotations and see what makes them happy, because we have a really difficult problem across medicine in the US right now of burnout and attrition and people leaving all specialties at a higher rate than we are graduating folks from residency into them. And perhaps it is because we have been so focused for several decades on this idea of competitiveness as measured in this table by sort of percentage filled by allopathic seniors. And if we were more reflective, if we were better prepared to help our students understand what is going to sustain them through 30 years of a career, then these numbers wouldn't necessarily be so important to them. And someone who is an otherwise competitive applicant, numbers and honors and all those things, but they really, really want to do a specialty that is traditionally considered not competitive, such as family medicine, they shouldn't be shamed out of doing that because of this sort of false label. So that's sort of my first reflection on this. Secondly, I would say, yes, Sarah, we are about where we have been the last couple of years. So I don't think that that's truly a change in terms of fill rates. And I think this, again, just reflects sort of national attitudes. We were having a much higher fill rate 8-9 years ago when there were TV shows on showing how cool it was to be an emergency physician. And after the pandemic, I think people have really seen what the reality of EM is, and it is not for everybody. So I'm not particularly upset by these numbers, but I would encourage folks to potentially not choose a specialty based on its competitiveness.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. What I'm hearing is that we probably need to totally blow up our tables for next year. So escape room, column, we'll have to figure that out. But yeah, you know, I totally agree with you, Abra. And I will say from my personal reflection, one of the best parts about my job, even though I'm a program director and I do research educator, I love my clinical shifts. I love being with patients, working with patients, and being in the emergency department. It still gives me that thrill of walking into the ED that I distinctly remember as a student. And, you know, I think that's a part of our jobs that we really need to make sure that people are seeing. And again, that they're not choosing something because of a label of competitiveness or, you know, because of sort of what they're hearing anecdotally, and just get that experience and decide if that's what they want.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I am just looking at this table a little bit more, which shows a serious drop in the number of unfilled positions in EM. And I think that is wonderful. I mean, we're down to like 135, down from the 500s from last year. Now I'm wondering, let's delve into this 135 number. You know, we're still building programs this year off of last year. There's more spots. Is this a measure of maybe we're at a saturation point in our specialty or within graduate medical education in general? I'm not up to date with the trends. I'm curious what your thoughts are on this, Abra.
I think it's a really interesting question, and it's one that nationally, our RRC, which is the group that accredits programs, as well as our Program Director Association, has been struggling with. I think, you know, just to call everyone's attention to the table, you know, we are still a little bit below the number of allopathic seniors applying into the specialty over the last couple of years compared to the first year on the table, which is 2016. But I sort of think this is all within a standard error of measurement, right? Like somewhere between 1,400 and 1,600 people applying into EM from allopathic senior positions. That feels right. It sort of feels like where we should settle out. We maybe had a little spike in the early 2020s where there was probably some interest in EM for whatever reason that was. But I think that was probably more the anomaly than what we're seeing right now. So I do think there is sort of a right size in terms of the number of U.S. seniors that are looking to go into EM every year and the number of, you know, osteopathic seniors looking to go into EM every year. We may have overshot that a little bit, but then you have to look at the other side, right? There are still jobs out there for folks graduating from EM residencies. And if there's still jobs for everybody, that would make the argument that we have the right number of positions and we're not oversaturated yet. We're just going to be looking at a slightly different makeup of our workforce than we've been used to over the last decade.
Yes, I love all of that. I think that makes a lot of sense. And we're not done looking at these numbers. You know, I think next year's match is going to be another big year, and we're really going to need to see, are we going to yo-yo or are we going to continue now this trend that we're seeing? This is a great year. We're all really happy. But now we start to slowly hold our breath again as we ramp up into the next recruitment season to see what happens with the 2025 match. Speaking of which, Abra, now that we have these numbers, now that you've had your match, congratulations, by the way, anything you're going to do differently this year based off of these numbers or what you're seeing from what happened in this year's match?
So that's an excellent question, and congratulations to you and your match as well. I don't know that I'm going to do a whole lot different compared to this year. I think like most programs, we definitely pivoted a little bit between last year and this year in terms of who we're inviting, really utilizing a lot of the tools in ARIS that are available now in terms of preference signaling, geographic preferences, because we only have so many hours in a day, right? And while we would love to interview everybody who applies to us, that's just not logistically very practical. And so really trying to make it count and interview folks who have genuine interest, which is hard to tell previously in ARIS, right? Like you could see, yes, they've sent me an application and they're a wonderful student. I want to meet them, but they may have no interest whatsoever in moving to Chicago. And I get it. The winters are brutal. So I think that that was a big change for us last year, is really paying a bit more attention to those new features and trying to really find those applicants that were truly interested and be able to interview them. It worked out well. We were able to fill. We have a wonderful class of 15 students coming in. So I think that will probably continue. I don't know that most places are going to do drastic changes like interview tons more people or things like that. But I do think, just having talked to folks in the last few weeks, that those preference signals and particularly the geography preferences are going to be pretty important for folks, especially programs that are not in sort of large urban areas.
Yeah, I definitely agree. The geo preference was so big for us. And because I know it's shocking that not everybody wants to move to the West Coast, but not everybody does. And so it's really nice, actually, to be able to select a little bit. And also our sub-I program, we were able to match a lot of our sub-Is. And I think it really gives students a chance to see us and us to see them. That's a really high yield component of our recruitment as well. But yeah, the preference signaling, and I like the new ARIS process. I think we get a lot more information that's more relevant to what we're looking for in a holistic review. And it's been a little bit easier to find the pieces to pull out that we want to look at. All right. Well, it sounds like a couple takeaways here. First is that we're all okay. EM is okay as a specialty, as programs. Everyone's doing fine. We can all just keep up the work that we're doing, and I think we're going to continue to see a lot of successes. And for students, if you love emergency medicine, go into emergency medicine. It's a wonderful specialty. And if you're not sure, if you're an early med student and you're just trying to figure out what you want to do, reach out to someone in emergency medicine. Get into the ED if your school doesn't have it as a third-year rotation. Get in there and see what it's really like. There's great parts and there's not great parts, just like with any specialty. And you have to know what it looks like on all sides of the coin, not just the TV programs that Abra referenced that may or may not be dating us at this point. But yeah, get into the ED, see what it's like. And again, go into emergency medicine. It's a wonderful field. It's mission-driven. We do a lot of really good things for patients that really need us. I couldn't agree more with what Abra said about that. Any parting thoughts or comments, Michelle? I love like getting your big picture. You're not like in the weeds. No. You're not in the program director weeds that Abra and I are in. So I love getting your perspective on it.
Yeah, you guys are doing all the hard work. My perspective on it is that, you know what? This last year was not an apocalypse. The sun will come back, right? It's not like a total eclipse that is permanent. I feel like the specialist really pivoted quickly. Like, you remember when anesthesia had this issue a couple of decades ago? It took them a decade to get out of this. And I feel like we have already accelerated that whole process in 1 year to kind of get near back to where we were. So I'm really encouraged by this data. And so I appreciate you sharing all of this with the students. The tables make a lot of sense.
All right, Abra, I'll let you wrap us up. Any new takeaways from what we haven't discussed?
I think I just want to reassure the students that there are jobs out there in emergency medicine. I think that statement a couple of years ago really kicked off a lot of panic. Rightfully so, right? Why give 3 or 4 years of your life to a specialty if you don't know you're going to be able to practice in it? So I want to reassure folks that there are wonderful jobs out there. There's jobs in there in tons of different markets across the country. So that should not be a worry. And it really should be a process of figuring out what matches your needs as a student, what you want to do with a career, and what sort of clinical work is fulfilling and makes you happy. And if emergency medicine ticks those boxes for you, then please, please come check us out. There will be a job for you when you graduate, I promise. And I want to just echo as well that this really was a spectacular rebound for our specialty. And again, just so proud of all my colleagues being able to pivot, and really excited for all the folks that will be joining us as emergency physicians this July.
I love that. Me too. This is an exciting time of year. So students as well, I'll put a shameless plug in. We will be doing some additional podcasts in the next few months on applying, looking at programs, interviewing. So stay tuned. We'll have a lot more to come after this sort of reflection, this deep breath, once we get our interns all onboarded coming up in the next few months, which is a really exciting time as well. We will be back with more and more tips and tricks. So with that, we will wrap up. Thank you all. Happy eclipsing. Remember to wear your eye protection. Again, too late now. If you stared at the sun, we're catching you too late. Hopefully everybody was able to see this not once in a lifetime event. And we will catch all of you on the next podcast. Thank you, Abra and Michelle, for being here today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of EM Match Advice. You can listen to any of our episodes for free on Podbean. You can also check out a summary of today's episode as a blog post on alium.com.